The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. While the people were listening to Jesus speak, he proceeded to tell them a parable because he was near Jerusalem, and they thought that the kingdom of God would appear there immediately. So he said, "A nobleman went off to a distant country to obtain the kingship for himself and then to return. He called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 gold coins and told them, 'Engage in trade with these until I return.' His fellow citizens, however, despised him and sent a delegation after him to announce, 'We do not want this man to be our king.' But when he returned after obtaining the kingship, he had the servants called to whom he had given the money to learn what they had gained by trading. The first came forward and said, 'Sir, your gold coin has earned 10 additional ones.' He replied, 'Well done, good servant. You have been faithful in this very small matter. Take charge of 10 cities.' Then the second came and reported, 'Your gold coin, sir, has earned 5 more.' And to this servant too he said, 'You, take charge of 5 cities.' Then the other servant came and said, 'Sir, here is your gold coin. I kept it stored away in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you because you are a demanding man. You take up what you did not lay down, and you harvest what you did not plant.' He said to him, 'With your own words, I shall condemn you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a demanding man, taking up what I did not lay down and harvesting what I did not plant. Why then did you not put my money in a bank? Then on my return, I would have collected it with interest.' And to those standing by, he said, 'Take the gold coin from him and give it to the servant who has 10. But they said to him, 'Sir, he has 10 gold coins.' He replied, 'I tell you, to everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Now, as for those enemies of mine who did not want me as their king, bring them here and slay them before me.' After he had said this, he proceeded on his journey to Jerusalem." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. But I tell you about both our first reading and our gospel today, okay? Because they're both great. So the first reading, once again, comes from the books of the Maccabees, which I told you about yesterday, if you heard me speak yesterday. And the first reading is one of the most unforgettable stories in all the Bible. Story of the martyrdom of an unknown Jewish woman and her 7 sons in the days of the wicked tyrant king Antiochus Epiphanes, who tried to destroy the faith in Israel by forcing people to violate God's law, forcing them to eat pork in violation of God's law. It's the story of this heroic mother who stood by and watched as each one of her 7 sons was killed in her presence, until at last, finally, she herself was killed. But that's not the whole story. See, the whole story is that all of them watched as all of them were killed, and if any of them had broken faith, if any of them had agreed to violate God's law at any time, if any of them had chosen to eat the pork, all of them would have survived. And yet they all kept faith, they all kept God's commandments right to the very last, with the message being that God is to be loved above all else. Now, God is to be loved above all else. That's also the message for the gospel. Let me try to explain. The way to understand this gospel is to understand the context, okay? To understand the beginning. Jesus is coming near to Jerusalem, where he's going to be crucified. And the people there think that the kingdom of God is about to appear in their midst immediately. Is the kingdom of God about to appear immediately in Jerusalem? It sure is. It's going to appear when Jesus is crucified on the cross. But nobody understands what that means. So Jesus tells this parable as a way of teaching them and of teaching us. You see, when you want to think about the kingship of God, Don't think of it about being like an earthly king. Really, the kingship of God is a spousal relationship between Christ and his church, between Christ and your soul, a spousal relationship in which God gives everything to you. And you, in turn, give everything you have back to him. An absolute, complete gift of love. That's what the kingship of God is. But nobody understood that then. We don't really understand that all that well now. And so Jesus tells us this mysterious parable. Now, some odd elements in this parable, which could have a homily all their own, a quick and short explanation of that is that it's based on a historical event. It's based on the reality of King Herod Agrippa, who took over the kingship of Israel from Herod the Great when Herod the Great died, you know, the one who killed all the innocents at the time of Jesus' birth. Well, the new King Herod goes to Caesar to get his blessing over his kingship of Israel. And before he goes, all these Jewish people protest and they say, "We don't want this man to be our king." Goes off to Caesar Augustus, gets his kingship blessed and approved, comes back to Israel. What happens to all those Jews who didn't want Herod to be their king? They're all lined up and killed. They're all lined up and killed as traitors. Whole separate homily I could give you on that. But for our sakes, let's just think about this. The nobleman who goes off to a distant country is Christ. The servants entrusted with the coins, that's you and me. What do the coins represent? The coins represent everything God has given us. The coins represent your life. Coins represent this day, right? Whole thing's great big gift. Coins represent your time. Coins represent the money that you got in the bank. Coins represent your talents, your abilities, everything that God has given you. And those who take what God has given them and they risk it, they find, for the love of God, they find that it's multiplied. The only one who's singled out for condemnation is the one who keeps what's been given to him and hoards it up for himself. The idea being that God is nothing but pure gift. You want to draw close to the Lord? Learn to act as God himself acts. And it might sometimes feel like a risk. Jesus would rather see you risk and fail, because in God's reckoning, anything risked for the love of him is not a failure. It's all received by God as a gift to God, and he always repays it with more. Those who have will receive more until they grow rich, and those who, in a sense, keep for themselves what they're given lose what little they have. This is what it means to love God above all things. Sometimes I'll have people come to me and they'll say, "Father, how can I grow in faith? How can I grow in hope?" Sometimes I'll say, "How can I grow in love and in charity?" And the answer is, act on what you already have. Act on the faith that you already have. The more you, and it could be anything. It could be withholding an unkind word. It could be making a donation to charity. It could be lending a helping hand. It could be restraining a bad thought. It could be carrying out an act of penance. Anything at all. The more you act on it, the more your faith grows. Our temptation, of course, is to do the opposite. Keep everything we have for ourselves. And the challenge, not only of the first reading, but of this gospel, is to do exactly the opposite. Remember that God is to be loved above all else, and nothing given in love for him is ever given in vain. Amen.